Let's open our Bibles this morning, please, in the book of Psalm 119. Just looking afresh here, Psalm 119, and we turn to the reading of verse number 105, and then some verses through this passage of God's Word, Psalm 119, and the verse 105. I'd like you to follow God's precious and God's holy truth this morning. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do not I forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee, because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thee. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that once again you'll teach us from thy word. We pray that you'll make us teachable, make us as those that have hearing ears and understanding hearts. We pray that ere we leave thy presence, Lord, in this service of worship, that thou will speak to each and every one of us, that thou will deal with us afresh. Bless us as we meditate upon thy truth. For we pray in Jesus' precious and his lovely name. Amen. Amen. We have been endeavoring in our morning meetings and looking in the psalm. We've been endeavoring to outline the great value, the tremendous purpose and value that the scriptures are to every one of us. And every one of us who are saved today, every child of God ought to be a person of the one book. And that is the infallible, the inspired, the inerrant Word of God. We take the privilege of gathering round this book and gathering in a service like this for granted. And yet we remember that there are many this morning across this world that are not able to gather like this. There's no one to open the Scriptures with them. There is no Scriptures for them to read, because they've never had the Word of God in their hands, and yet we take it for granted. I was reading this week how that a congregation in the land of Siberia, they, for 40 years, There was no one to preach in that little gathering of people, no one to break the word of life. And after 40 years, a man came to minister at a little gathering of people. And as the people heard, the word of God was open in Siberia. And they gathered together for to hear God's servant preach. And as they heard him preach, and he was taking the word of God and was about to open his mouth, the people cried out with one voice, "Take your Bible, preacher. Take your Bible and preach it to us." That's all they wanted, friend. They wanted him to take the Bible. And they wanted him to preach it to them. He preached for an hour. He was ending his message at the end of the hour. And the people cried out, "Preacher, take your Bible and keep preaching. Preach it to us." He preached for a second hour and was drawing his message to a conclusion. And the people cried out again with great heart and voice. It says, "Preacher, take your Bible and preach it to us." And for 3 hours he preached until his voice was no longer able to preach anymore. The people were so hungry for the word of God. Let me tell you, the tragedy is this. In this land, that people are so comfortable and they do not realize their great need of God as they ought, and in whose presence we stand and whose word that we have in our hand. And people are not hungering for the word of God anymore. Take your Bible and preach to us the word of God. Of course, friend, the highest secret of the study of the word of God is that teachable spirit which is inseparable from an obedient heart. And as you come before the word of God, I trust this morning that you and I will have a teachable spirit and we'll come with that obedient heart. Because knowing and hearing the word, oh, that we might put it into practice. John chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "If any man will do his will," that's God's will, "he shall know of the doctrine." And if you and I want to do the will of God, friend, then we have got to know of the doctrine. We have got to know what the word of God says. But there is that inseparable union between the teachable spirit and the heart that is obedient. Because insight into the scripture is not independent of an obedient heart. We read, you know, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles concerning the Bereans. And it tells me there in the 17th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles that the people there were people who searched the scriptures daily. Notice the word "searched." Verse 11 of Acts 17. They searched the scriptures daily. And the word "searched" means, friend, it implies a thorough examination. It implies a thorough investigation, a systematic, habitual, earnest heart that's seeking to know the exact meaning of what God is saying for the purpose of practicing what God's saying, obeying God's command, not to increase our knowledge, but to have an obedient heart. They search the word of God, the scriptures, daily. Brethren and sisters, as we come to a conclusion of our little study across just the Psalm 119. We've been saying that the word of God is so important to you because the word of God, it blesses you. The word of God, it cleanses you. The word of God, it gives you joy. The word of God, it gives you counsel. The word of God gives you life. The word of God gives you health. The word of God gives you strength. The word of God gives you liberty. The word of God gives you hope. Last Lord's Day, we were saying the word of God gives you friends. Friends that you need and friends that you ought to have. The word of God will lead you to those who are of like precious faith. They went to their own company. The old proverb, "Birds of a feather flock together." And then we concluded last Lord's Day, the word of God gives you wisdom. Wisdom. But let's look finally this morning at some other things the word of God gives. Come with your Bibles, please. Psalm 119. Let's look at it simply this morning. And yet may the Spirit of God write this in our heart. First of all, this morning, go to verse 67. This is what it says here in verse 67. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Mark that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Verse 67. Then go to verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And so we notice here, the Word of God, friend, is important. You need the Word of God, because I believe that as you search the Scriptures daily, and as you meditate upon the Word of God, the Word of God will give you and me right priorities in life. That's what the Word of God does. It gives us the right priorities. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll notice how the right priorities in life came about in the psalmist. It says in verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Notice here's his confession. I went astray. And here the psalmist is honest. He's opening his heart. And friend, listen, we must say this morning how natural it is. How natural it is for you and I to go astray. There is not one in this service that knows the Lord Jesus, but looks back at their lives, friend, and there were times that since the day we were saved, there were days that we went astray. We didn't walk according to the Word of God. And how natural it is for us to go astray, friend, and how easy it is for the devil to lead us into bypath meadows and get you occupied on other things. You know, even when people go out to witness, I've often said to those men who are going out to witness on the doorsteps, how that people sometimes, whenever you try to bring the gospel to them, how they try to lead you astray. They want you to get onto some subject which, my friend, doesn't really count and doesn't matter for eternity. But they want to raise it with you because they don't want the Word of God closing into their hearts. And so the devil will try through them to lead you astray, take you away from the purpose of it all. And the psalmist is admitting here, he said, Lord, listen, I went astray. I lost my priority. Is there someone here this morning? You profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, but before God, be honest, you have lost the right priorities. You're not getting to the place of prayer. You put something else in this instead of the place of prayer. You're not studying the Word of God anymore as you ought to study the Word of God, because you've lost the priority of the study of the Word of God and you put something else in its place. And how natural that is, friend, because the devil will do it so subtly. It may be a harmless thing. It may not necessarily be a sinful thing. It may be a harmless thing. Why do many of God's people not come to the place of prayer? Friend, be honest before God. You have put something else in its place. There is something else in its place. Now, I ask you, in the light of God's eternity, friend, is the thing that's put in its place Thursday night after Thursday night, is it more important than spending time before the throne of grace in prayer? Is it more important? What are your priorities? And so here was a confession. He said, listen, I went astray. I want to tell you, my friend, you and I, if we are sinning before God, friend, and we have gone astray, we need to confess it and say, Lord, listen, I want to confess it. I went astray. But notice his conversion. Because it says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept my word. And so we find that God's changed him. You don't need to go on the way you're going, friend. You don't need to continue astray. Thank God there is a way back. And the way back is the road of confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God, there is a way back to God. It's the road of confession. And if you've gone astray, friend, be honest before God, confess it. And listen, listen. He's no longer going astray. He's no longer wanting to walk that way. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But praise God, he's not going astray anymore. Why? Because God has stopped him. God has stepped in. Now, friend, you notice something else here. Because not only have you got the confession there, and not only have you, indeed, the change or correction, or the conversion in his life, but there's a correction. Notice the correction. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And you see, God had to discipline him. God had to correct him. There was something wrong in his life. There were priorities that were wrong in his life. He had lost out with God. He had lost the priorities that God wanted him to have. And God had to correct him. Let me say this. If you're going astray and you're just continuing on, friend, I tell you this, you're in trouble. Because I can tell you this, if God's not dealing with you as a child, then there's only one purpose. If God's not dealing with you, listen to me carefully. If God's not dealing with you, if you're living in sin, friend, if you're going astray, and you're happy and content in your way, and you're not convicted about it, and God's Spirit does not challenge you about it, friend, and you're not uneasy about it, and God's not disciplining you, and God's not dealing with you as a child, then if God's not doing that, then you've got a problem. I must be honest. If God's not dealing with you as a child, then you're not a child. And if you're not a child of God, you're on your way to hell. You may have a profession. You may have a profession. You may say, listen, I signed a card. Or I made a profession one time, and I look away back there in the distant past in the midst of yore, and I made a profession. And let me tell you, my friend, if you're not walking with God, and if God is therefore not dealing with you as a child, because the Word of God says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every, listen to me, every son that he receiveth. Not some, everyone. In other words, God has to discipline. A person who's going astray, God has to discipline. Why? Because he loves them. Why does he discipline? Why did the psalmist say, I was afflicted? Because God was stepping into his life when he was afflicted. Because God loved him. God didn't want him to continue to be astray. God wanted him home. He wanted a son home. He wanted the boy home at his table. And so there was a correction. And Hebrews 12:6 says, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, thank God, things have changed. There's correction here. His life has been corrected. He has been converted. He has been changed. But do you notice the conclusion? Verse 71. He says, it is good for me. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Let me tell you this. Nobody loves to be chastised. We're living a different age today. And man, we're getting so correct in society that they tell us you have no need to correct your children anymore. I want to tell you this. This society is going to hell. Because there's no longer the standards, there's no longer the moral principles and the moral fiber in our society to say something's wrong. And when something's wrong, it has got to be corrected. I'd rather believe God when he said, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. That there is correction. And I'll tell you this, if nobody else will do it, God will. Because God has to deal with his children. And he said, it was good. It's good for me. You know why? That I might learn my statutes. God, you teach me a lesson. And I'll tell you, when God teaches us a lesson, I'll tell you it's good to be home. The prodigal son once was at the father's table, once enjoyed the father's table, and he wandered far into the far country, friends. And let me tell you, when I see him back at the father's table again, I'll guarantee you, he says, "Daddy, it's good to be home." Yes, the devil came into his life and led him astray, and he went out into a far country, and he thought the faraway fields were green. He thought that was the place to be. That's what society told him. But I'll tell you this, he found a lesson in the far country, sitting down at the swine trough, and nobody gave unto him, and he was perishing with hunger. And you know, as he thought about perishing with hunger, you remember the days he used to sit at the table? And his mind went back, and you know what he thought? Not only him sitting with his father and his brother at the table, but he thought about the servants sitting there. And he says, "My father's servants have bread enough and to spare. But I perish with hunger." Is there somebody looking back this morning in the service? Now, talking is the Spirit of God speaking to someone, friend, looks back, and you remember the times you used to enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Remember the time it used to be a happiness and a thrill to be among the people of God, and the excitement it used to have in serving the Lord and being among the people of God and doing the work for God? But you've lost the thrill, you've lost the joy. And in the words of the hymn, you say, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I met the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word?" You know what he said? He said, "Lord, it was good for me that I've been afflicted." You know what he found out? Verse 72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." You see all the gold and silver out there? Lord, you see your law. Walking according to your word, getting back to right priorities in life. God, I'd rather have that than the gold and silver. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. See, the Word of God gives you right priorities, friend. And I believe that that's what we need today. We need to get our priorities right. Seek first. Please, no matter where you go, friend, listen to me. No matter where you go, friend, let me say, you're never out of God's sight. And you're never out of His care. And no matter where you travel, thou God seest me. He gives us right priorities. Then notice something else. Come with me now further. Go to verse number 76. "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." Verse 82. "Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" Verse 92. "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction." Verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Friend, let me say this. The Word of God is so precious today because the Word of God, it not only gives you right priorities, but praise God, the Word of God gives you comfort. Notice the emphasis. And you'll find throughout the psalm, friend, and throughout the Scriptures, the necessity of the comfort of the Scriptures. In actual fact, in verse 50 it said, "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." In other words, thy word kept me going. Thy word kept me alive. That's what he's saying. He says, "Oh God, there were times when I was down there in affliction. And here was some affliction came into his life. He said, "Oh God, it is your word that kept me going. It's your word that kept me living, kept me alive." I think of a mother whose son was in the depths of worldliness and the depths of rebellion. And it seemed to be that that boy was going further and further into the world and into sin. And nothing that she would ever say would mean anything to him. Nothing she would ever say would stop him. It just seemed to go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. She did not know where to go. There came a day that she felt she couldn't go on any further, and she shut herself in her room. She took down the Word of God, and she shut herself in before the Lord, and she said, "Oh God, it seems to be the situation is hopeless. It seems to be there's no way back, or no way out, because God, it seems to be the scene's getting darker. The more I speak, it seems to be he's going quicker to hell." She shut herself in with God, friend. She fasted before God. She prayed. And in the midst of that, in the midst of her praying, she opened the Word of God and she read the Scriptures. She said, "Oh God, I need a word from you, Lord. I need help. You don't help me, Lord. I can't take much more." And on her knees before God, and she opened the Scriptures read. And as she read the Scriptures, she was reading through the book of Isaiah. And she came to Isaiah chapter 54. And reading in Isaiah 54, says verse 11, "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agate, and thy borders of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones." And then she read these words, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." And friend, the Holy Spirit of God just took those words and wrote those words upon her heart. And the Holy Spirit of God made those words live. What a comfort the Word of God was to her that day. "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath kept me alive. Thy word hath kept me going. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the greatest trial, whenever it seems to be that the sun had gone out, God wrote those words upon her heart. She waited upon God, and let me tell you, friend, God answered her prayer. Some years later, her son came to Christ and was gloriously saved, and his life was completely changed by the power of the gospel. But she got comfort in the midst of her anxiety and grief and her darkness, her travail, her sorrow. You know what kept her going? You know what kept her alive, friend? The comfort of God's word. God's word. Isaiah chapter 43 was the words that God gave me as a young fellow to be a preacher of the word of gospel. "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Then he said this, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow. They shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burdened." Yes, there will be the waters to cross. Yes, there will be the rivers you have got to pass through. Yes, there will be even the fire. But God says, "Fear not." He says, "I've redeemed thee." He says, "I've called you by my name." He says, "You're mine." And friend, I mightn't be much and I mightn't have much, but I want to tell you this. I am his. That's what he told me, and I believe him. Thou art mine. And it doesn't matter whether I'm precious to many or few. I'm precious to Him. And He said, when thou walkest and when thou passest, listen, He says, I will be with thee. And there's nobody else there. He said, listen, I will be with thee. What a comfort, friend. What a comfort. There is no word like the Word of God. Do you really believe that? Why don't we read it? Why don't we read it more? Why don't we meditate upon it more? Why don't we, in the midst of our sorrow, instead of turning to somebody else to get the answer, why don't we turn to the Word of God to get the answer? And the comfort in our time of need and in time of grief. Verse 82 of the Psalm, it says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Let's be honest, there are times whenever just it seems as if the light's gone out. That's what it says. Listen, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? There are times, friend, listen, it just seems that everything is so black that there is no way through. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, for He can do what nobody else can do. And the psalmist is opening his heart, friend. Listen, there's no use us pretending as if everything is always glorious and everything is always wonderful. Let me tell you, there are life's experiences, and we feel like the psalmist in verse 81, my soul fainteth, and mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I don't know what the circumstance is here. But what I do know is this. The circumstances the psalmist was going through, it was trying. It was heartbreaking. His eyes failed. Listen, the tears were flowing from his eyes. He couldn't even see. There were days and nights he cried himself to sleep. And it was seemed as if, listen, mine eyes fail. So prolonged were the days of darkness. Remember John the Baptist? Do you remember when John was the one that said, look, here's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Excited? You can hear the excitement in his voice. Behold, look, look! There's the Lamb of God! And then he said this, I must decrease, Christ must increase. And then John was sent to prison. Friend, let me tell you this. Whenever John was in prison, John's disciples came to Jesus and they said, listen, we want to ask you a question, Lord. Art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another? Art thou he? Didn't John say, here is the Lamb of God? Didn't he? He was sure. There wasn't a doubt in his mind what had happened to John. Friend, listen. These disciples of John were reporting back. Listen, he wants to know, art thou he that should come? Circumstances had come in between. Trials, troubles, affliction, prison. Or should we look for another? Let me tell you, friend, look wherever you will today, but there'll never be another like Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And you know, praise God, God restored the confidence in John's heart. And he laid down his life for Jesus' sake. And die for the truth of the gospel. And so it says here
In verse 92, unless thy law had been my delight. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Listen, only your word kept me seeing. That's what he's honestly saying. David the psalmist, listen, the mighty David, he has to confess, in his time of affliction, in his time of despair, listen, my friend. He said, oh God, listen, it's only your word. Only I had your word to hold on to. I would have gone mad. I'd have gone insane. Do you know what the word of God was, friend? The word of God was his comfort. The word of God was his anchor. The word of God was his shield. The word of God was his rock. We're beating again with time this morning, but John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. And friend, to be honest, I'm sure that when John Bunyan was in Bedford Jail, there were days whenever he felt it just seemed as if all hell was let loose against him. And I'm sure, like the psalmist, there came the days whenever it seemed to be that the light was going out. But there in that Bedford Jail, sitting there imprisoned for preaching the word of God and being faithful to King Jesus. Remember, he's in that jail knowing he has no way of supporting his wife. And I'm sure he thought about his little blind daughter and how that she'd be missing her dad. But John Bunyan had the Bible. That's the thing that kept him going. And as he read the Word of God, friend, out of that prison cell, as he read the Scriptures, out of that came Christian and pliable and Mr. Greatheart and Mr. Worldly Wise and Giant Despair and Mr. Valiant for the Truth. The characters, all of Bunyan's progress. And he kept his sanity by finding in the Scriptures, friend, by finding company in the characters that were created in his heart through the knowledge of the Word of God. And as in that prison cell, the Lord turned the darkness and the Lord turned the emptiness of that place, and the Lord took away his boredom, and the Lord took away his despair and defeated his doubts. And he wasn't sitting counting the boards, and he wasn't sitting there counting the stones on the wall. But he wrote that book, The Pilgrim's Progress. And he found in this book all the comfort that he needed. You find comfort in the Word of God, friend? This thought I close. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The second epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, go to verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And then it says this, verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble? How do we comfort them? By words of wisdom that are our own thing. No, listen. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And God can take the experiences that we're going through, and God can turn them out. Paul realized, he said, listen, when I was in prison, he said, listen, instead of there to destroy me, they were used for the furtherance of the gospel.
And God turned his dark circumstances to the glory of God. And here we find that Paul's writing to the Corinthians and he said, listen, the God of all comfort, he comforts us, that we in turn might be used of God to comfort somebody else that is in trouble like ourselves, and we can comfort them, telling them about the comfort that we have had in Christ, and that Christ's word has blessed our souls with. Yes, we can be used of God then to be a comfort. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Oh, he is our anchor. Thank God he's the one to whom we can depend. And the one that we can turn to. Jesus knows all about our struggles. And he will guide till the day is done, for there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Have you proved that? Well, let me tell you, friend. You see that experience that God has brought you through? Then you take that experience and be a blessing to somebody else. Be a comfort. Somebody else needs the message. Somebody else needs it. Why don't you be a comfort? Why don't you be a blessing this week? Because somebody else needs what God has done for you. He can do it for them too. And if you're not saved, then the only one you need is Jesus. May the Lord bring you to himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you'll bless it to our souls and help us to go out and help us to share Christ this week. Help us, our God, to be a blessing to souls. Help us, our God, to be a means of being used in your hand, Lord. That even through our lives and through our witness that we can take Christ and his glorious gospel to some poor sinner and help us to be the means of bringing somebody else to the knowledge of sins forgiven through the power of Christ's atoning blood. Hear and answer our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.